Three of them.
Yes.
And Bob Johnson.
Okay.
Yes, he was a retired fireman.
Okay.
Who's now, he works for Medics. He's here for Brian Johnston, who will be for police, and LJ Anderson, who's chair of the HLC. He's here for.
Great. Who's this? Okay. I think I'm ready. Okay, I will call to order the Astoria City Council meeting for May 2nd, 2016. Welcome, everybody. Roll call, Chief Johnston.
Councilor Herzig.
Here.
Councilor Moore.
Here.
Councilor Nemelo.
Here.
Mayor Lemire.
Here. Thank you.
And Councilor Price is excused today.
Okay, reports of councilors. Councilor Nemelo.
I'll pass tonight, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Councilor Herzig.
Thank you, Mayor. I went to the quarterly Columbia River Estuary Study Task Force meeting along with our Community Development Director and Planning Director. There was some discussion about the yearly dues from the member organizations, and Astoria has been paying $5,000 per year. The chair of the council, Scott Lee, was asking about, are we sure that these are equitable assessments kind of thing? I believe probably our community development director and planner would be better informed of that, but it seems like we've got good value for our $5,000 yearly fee over the course of the years, so we'll probably stay with that unless I hear differently from city staff. This coming Wednesday and the following Wednesday, I've been invited to be part of a diversity training for the Seaside in Cannon Beach. Is the volume down? I think Ray is. Is anybody adjusting volume? Okay, well, I'll talk louder. This Wednesday and next Wednesday, the Seaside and Cannon Beach Police Departments are having training, and I've been invited to join some other people and do a diversity section for that training kind of thing. So the following 2 weeks, we'll be training with the Seaside and Cannon Beach Police Departments, which is nice. In community news, the Coast Guard housing finally got the speed bumps on Alameda, where West Clascanine hits Alameda, and they're thrilled about that. It took them a number of years, but they finally got it. So that's a positive. Okay, volume's coming up, great. On a negative, somebody who lives on my block has been renting a house for about 3 years. The owner has decided to sell that house. And unfortunately, the current resident may have to leave Astoria because he simply cannot find another rental or a house to buy. He's operated out of his house. He's got a thriving business. He's been here 3 years. He wants to stay in Astoria. But the fact that the rental house he's been living in is on the market now means we may be losing another Astorian. So it's very real, folks. It's very real. And it's that's the situation there. So that's my report, Mayor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilor Warr.
I've got one little, well, it's not really a report, it's a comment. In the letters to the editor in tonight's paper, Steve Weed, the appraiser who appraised the property on Alameda for us to consider for sale, has written a response to Mr. Cantor, who I think very unfairly, by innuendo, accused him of wrongdoing along with the staff. And so I encourage all of you to read what he has to say about it. And if you don't have a pretty good indication that somebody's done something wrong, I think it's pretty bad to accuse them. And that's what happened in this case, and I hope it stops. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. We had three nights of budget committee meetings. I was told by someone in the audience that I was frowning through most of it. And I thought, why would I be smiling through budget meetings? But anyway, we finished them. And I also attended the last meeting of the two Clatsop Community College presidential candidates. And I think they've chosen a good person, and apparently the staff and the faculty was given a lot of input into the hiring, and they are all very happy. So that's good, because I know I had understood that morale was not the highest up there. And so I'm delighted about that. Also attended the Clatsop Community College Foundation dinner. And thanks to Betsy Johnson, they raised over $30,000 at that event. So, you know, that's the key. If you really want to raise money, get Betsy out there. And she'll stare people down until they donate.
Well, but she's the first one getting the check.
Oh, yeah.
Out too.
Oh, yeah, she did. Okay. Are there any changes to the agenda?
No changes.
Okay. All right, tonight we have three proclamations. The first one is for Emergency Medical Services Week. Whereas emergency medical services is a vital public service, and whereas the members of emergency medical service teams are ready to provide life-saving care to those in need 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and whereas access to quality emergency care dramatically improves the survival and recovery rate of those who experience sudden illness or injury, and whereas the emergency medical services system consists of emergency physicians, emergency nurses, emergency medical technicians, paramedics, firefighters, educators, administrators, and others, and whereas the members of emergency medical services teams, whether career or volunteer, engages in thousands of hours of specialized training and continuing education to enhance their life-saving skills, and whereas it is appropriate to recognize the value and the accomplishments of emergency medical service providers by designating Emergency Medical Services Week. Now, therefore, I, Arlene Lemire, Mayor of Astoria, do hereby proclaim the week of May 15th 2016, May 15th to the 21st, 2016, as Emergency Medical Services Week, with the theme EMS Strong, Called to Care. I encourage the community to observe this week with appropriate programs, ceremonies, and activities. In witness whereof, I have herewith set my hand and caused the seal of the City of Astoria to be affixed this May 2nd, 2016. And we have with us tonight Bob Johnson, who will come forward and get the certificate.
This evening. My name is Bob Johnson. I'm a paramedic supervisor of the Medics Ambulance Service. Medics was founded right here in Astoria in 1975, and so we're completing our 41st year of serving the City of Astoria as well as the remainder of Clatsop County. Emergency Medical Partners, as Mayor Lemire said in the proclamation, includes our EMTs, our paramedics, our emergency telecommunicators, as well as the partners that we have, the City of Astoria Fire Department, both the career staff, the volunteer staff, which are both emergency medical responders, EMTs, and intermediates, the police department, the officers that interact with us every day, as well as the 911 dispatchers, and the partners that we have at Clatsop, Home Memorial Hospital as well, and we also have some flight paramedics in the community as well nowadays. So things have changed a lot in 41 years. We appreciate the opportunity and feel privileged to be able to provide this emergency medical services to the City of Astoria and Clatsop County at large, and every day we work to retain the trust that's been placed in us by providing timely, compassionate, and highly professional care each and every day. And we appreciate the help of our partner agencies. And with the theme this year, EMS Strong Call to Care, we strive to emulate that each and every day. So thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it. Thank you,
Bob. Thank you. Our next proclamation is for Police Week. Whereas there are approximately 900,000 law enforcement officers serving in communities across the United States, including the dedicated members of the Astoria Police Department. And whereas there have been 15,725 assaults against law enforcement officers in 2014, resulting in approximately 13,824 injuries, and whereas since the first recorded death in 1791, that's a while back, more than 20,000 law enforcement officers in the United States have made the ultimate sacrifice and been killed in the line of duty, including this year's death of Seaside Police Department Sergeant Jason Gooding, which affected every member of our community. And whereas the names of these dedicated public servants are engraved on the walls of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in Washington, D.C., and whereas 252 new names of fallen heroes are being added to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial this spring, including 123 officers killed in 2015 and 129 officers killed in previous years. And whereas the service and sacrifice of all officers killed in the line of duty will be honored during the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund's 28th annual candlelight vigil on the evening of May 13, 2016. And whereas the candlelight vigil is part of National Police Week, which takes place this year, May 15th to 21st, and whereas May 15th is designated as Peace Officers Memorial Day, in honor of all fallen officers and their families, and U.S. flags should be flown at half staff. Now, therefore, I, Arlene Lemire, Mayor of the City of Astoria, do hereby proclaim May 15th through 21st, 2016, as Police Week in the City of Astoria, and publicly salute the service of law enforcement officers in our community and in communities across the nation. Chief Johnston. Our third one is for National Historic Preservation Month. Whereas historic preservation is an effective tool for revitalizing neighborhoods, fostering local pride, and maintaining community character while enhancing livability, and whereas historic preservation is relevant for communities across the nation, both urban and rural, and for Americans of all ages, walks of life, and ethnic backgrounds. And whereas it is important to celebrate the role of history in our lives and the contributions made by dedicated individuals in helping to preserve the tangible aspects of the heritage that has shaped us as a people. And whereas this place matters is the theme for National Historic Preservation Month 2016. Now, therefore, I, Arlene Lemire, Mayor of the City of Astoria, do proclaim the month of May 2016 as National Historic Preservation Month and call upon the people of Astoria to join their fellow citizens across the United States in recognizing and participating in this special observance. And L.J. Gunderson, who is chair of the Historic Landmarks Commission, will accept the proclamation.
This isn't the budget. I just wanted to thank the council and the city of Astoria, and especially our newest members to the team of the city, which is Kevin Cronin and Nancy Ferber. We were kind of flying blind there for a little bit with waiting for our new community development director and a planner. We had an interim person that filled in for a while, but let me tell you, we're we're back on a good track now. We're getting great information and all the information we need to make hopefully good decisions for the city and ones that work for you as the fabric of our community. We're trying to protect the neighborhoods. We're coming up with better policing of people who are doing it on their own that aren't, you know, following the rules. And I think you've seen it downtown with the buildings getting repainted and repaired. I think you're going to see a new grant that's been presented to us for, I think, Uniontown. So thank you very much, and thank you to Kevin and to Paul Martinez.
All right, we have a presentation now by the Friends of the Astoria Column, and it will be their annual report. It will be delivered by Mr. Jordan Schnitzer.
Well, good evening. As part of our memorandum of understanding that we signed a year or 2 years ago, we have a yearly report to you. So, Mayor and City Council members, this is our yearly report, and we have an exciting last 12 months. So you have, I have this on the screen. Did you also get copies of the of the report? Wonderful. Okay. Now let me, and there are copies for any of you audience back that you came in. So first of all, there it is. Okay, now. All right. So when let me start off with the...
Jordan, if you want to... Yes. Aim it over here. See the. Let's. I'm seeing the laser. Let me see that.
Oh, okay. So my hand there. Wrong button, huh? Now I killed it completely. Oh, there you go. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So I bet does such a good job and has paid the big bucks to help us figure out how to. Okay. The Friends of Astoria Column was formed in 1988 to address the needs to restore the column. And I think many of you have heard before, I had gone to school with Blair Henningsgaard at the University of Oregon, go Ducks, and came over here often with friends from all over, and was disturbed almost 30 years ago with the disrepair of the column, and talked to then Mayor Edith Henningsgaard, now Miller, about whether we could help. So. She came back and said it'd be nice to get involved, and I called my friend Michael Foster and others, and we've been working in the trenches ever since. So here is your current board of directors. We have right now Bruce Jones is here and Thane Henson, and I think that's it. We had a meeting earlier with a lot of our folks there. And again, I should say that Angela has just been a fabulous working partner with us, and. I think represents the city well. So the history briefly, type small, but as I said, we started in 1988, and some of the key things, we did an initial evaluation with a conservator, Myrna Sachs, and then 2 years later brought in Dr. Frank Preusser, and we spent about $1 million then redoing the column for the first major time. Then in that that process, we learned that the column had some seismic issues with new seismic codes, that the column, the foundation underneath the column, wasn't really sufficient to hold it based upon the new information that had been, that seismologists had gotten over the years from the various earthquakes. So we raised almost $2 million and redid the whole plaza, but what really happened underground was we added more concrete that then was tied into the base of the column so that it would stand up to a much higher level of potential earthquake and seismic issues. Then, as some of you may remember, the stairs then deteriorated and we had to shut the column down and the difficulty of fabricating all new stairs and so forth, and that was $600,000. And then roughly 2 years ago came to you and asked if we could take over more of the site, which we did, and took over the house and the grounds up there, and to further save the city money of taking care of the grounds. We still obviously appreciate everything that the city does since it still owns everything up there, but it's really worked well in the last 2 years. And then lastly, the over 20 years, the column had deteriorated further. And as we came in and made that presentation to you, we spent about $600,000-$700,000 redoing the column last summer again. I think it really sparkles now. The next page shows the picture on the left shows the 1996 what the column looked like, and then it shows as of 2014 how the weather had deteriorated some of the cartoons, as they're called, in other parts of the column. And then the picture now shows as of 2015 the column restored again to its glory. The process was quite interesting again. We scaffolded the column and brought in a different conservator. Frank Preusser had retired, and we'd brought in MCL Conservation, and she did a good job. And we also are doing a little better job than we did last time in terms of creating a more thorough maintenance and preservation manual and program. I think we, looking back, probably we were told we needed to every 5 years go through and sort of spray a coating on the column to continue to keep it up. And we didn't really, I think, do as good a job over the past, and I think we'll do a better job going forward trying to maintain this latest restoration work. There were some additional cracks and other issues that we took care of this time, so I think we're really, really pleased. And the next point is that we, over the years, have compiled a tremendous amount of archival stuff, and it's really important for future generations at some point when others are up here and others are sitting up here, that any of the conservation folks in the future can go back and look at what was done so that they can understand in the future how to take care of the issues they may face. So we're spending additional money really doing a better job of cataloging all the past stuff and documenting very precisely what we did this time. We documented it last time, but we didn't sort of organize those archives. And we're working on a program now where it should be done by mid-2016. And we're working through as to where all of those materials should be housed. It's not quite that easy. You know, all the photographs, the documents, all this stuff. And so we're working with the city staff, but we'll figure out where that stuff should really be housed. And we'll come back to you with our recommendations about that. Then, as many of you know, when we were here, God, was a year or 2 years ago, and we made our presentation, we then found out about the Verizon Tower and started that process, and I think worked hand in hand with the city, with Brett and Chief Police now and Assistant City Manager Brad Estes and Brad Johnson, and I think worked together towards what appears to be an amicable resolution of the Verizon, the tower, the city, public communication system, and so forth. And we put a lot of time in that. Our member Mike Lindbergh, who'd been a member of the Portland City Council, had worked with David Olson at the time, who was head of the Portland Communication Department, and he's been invaluable, and now actually a member of the Friends. And I think we're making good progress there, and I think I understand that now there's a date in the reasonable near future where Verizon's going to be taking that column down and relocating it to improve the public safety communication and visually improve the column aesthetically. So financially, initially we thought the column would be shut down when we started this latest restoration for just really a few weeks or a month or two, but invariably once they scaffolded and got into the work, it just became too difficult to allow the public to come up to the top of the column. So it was shut down from May to October, which really hit us pretty hard financially compared to the solid, steady years of progress we had of increasing our attendance and increasing the revenue from the gift shop and parking fees. So we had the 2015 balance sheet. We had $385,000 of revenue, which was about a 30% decrease from the previous year. But we're back on track, and we came to you several months ago with the recommendation that the parking fee, which we had been charging of $2, was maybe a little bit on the low side compared to a lot of other comparable sites and parks and places in Oregon. So we've increased that to $5, and A dollar of that goes to the city, which we estimate the city should be getting approximately $50,000. So I think probably if we add up everything we're saving the city, I'd say probably it's in the range of $100,000 to $125,000 a year of cost the city was paying before in terms of maintaining the site and so forth. The first couple of months of this year we're on track and is moving along nicely with that additional parking fee and our gift shop sales and so forth. Like being in the farming business, we're pretty weather dependent here. And last year was a really warm spring. This year we've had sort of ups and downs with it being really wet and really warm, and we'll see. But we'll keep our fingers crossed. The summer should be fabulous. Now, capital improvements. So what we're doing this year is we put in semi-permanent, not long-term permanent, but restrooms about 10 years ago. And they just had a lot of wear and tear. So we're spending about $10,000 replacing the flooring with a epoxy and new toilet sinks and counters. This is still not the long-term solution, but this will get us by to our next plan. Underneath the garage, that had been used for storage and it's a little messy, so we're spending $3,000 to clean that up, and we haven't had really a desk and office for the staff to use, so we'll clean that up and make those improvements, putting a window in and just cleaning it up. Then the pavers, for any of you who've been up there, over the years there's been a lot of settling and rust. Intimately, and I think probably it wasn't done quite as well in hindsight as it probably should have been with the sort of the underneath the paper. But we've got a crew in now that just are excellent. They gave us a fabulous bid, and that's going on now, and that's roughly $100,000. And they're having to pick all the pavers, round the column up, and fix the fountain underneath and put more sand and tuck them all in and so forth. And then lastly, the lights around the column have been there for a long time. We've got a new plan to put in these LED lights that'll save us money. And I think we'll do a better job lighting the column. That's roughly $70,000. The lights themselves are about $40,000, but the wiring, is about $30,000. So that's all going on. And lastly, we moved ahead roughly two or three years ago, we brought in Sherry and Jay Mitchell and hired our first executive director and tried that. And that really worked well. They're a delightful couple, and she did a good job. And it really, I think, improved customer service to have folks first living in the house for security and there. Mm-hmm. And they've now retired. We hired two new native Astorian. Is they here? Any chance? No, they are here. And Greg Bjornstrom, he worked for the BLM, and I guess I should have got permission to ask what class I'm sorry high school he was. anyway, he's back after being gone for 20, 25 years, and very competent. And he's living at the site, and we're very excited about what we've seen so far with him and taking on all the maintenance. We've hired him full time, and then we've hired Bernie Williams. We again grew up here, and she's worked at the gift shop for 4 years up there, and she worked under Paula Boo for about a year, and then Sherry for a couple of years, and I think she's going to do an excellent job, having learned from both of them and had their own ideas, and we're very pleased to hire two of the local folks to be up there on site. And lastly, now we've got our staffing in place, we need to we've been working on our social media and our website and so forth. We need to continue to work on that. We've had a number of community events last year, and I think we'll be trying to increase those. The cruise ships, there's two of them coming in, as you know, I think we'll get to tomorrow or
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
5,000 folks, and we're still working through some things, but that's all arranged to get them all up there again. And
We had a sold-out show at Blind Pine at Fort George Brewery, and then we're planning the 90th anniversary celebration for July 23rd, 2016. Hmm. And at today's meeting, it was very exciting. We talked about looking forward to the 100th in the next 10 years. And I think we had talked 2 years ago with you about our working on a master plan of not just the direct column site there, but the surrounding area. And I was really pleased in our meeting today to hear from Parks Director from Angela that the city is embarking on a master plan program for all of your parks. So this will fit in with ordinary course, which you're already doing. And we need to step that up again. We hired one firm, and we need to hire a different firm. And we got some exciting ideas of things that I think make sense to do. And we'll work on that this year. We can come back with some ideas to work with you about some long-term additions and improvements. I mentioned to Mayor Lemire when we started earlier that we want to add a few more people to the board. And it's time that some of us that have been around a long time sort of step back a bit and let some newer voices step up. So we had a discussion about some names there and some thoughts, and we'll hopefully add a few more names to that list next year when we come back again. Any questions?
No, I don't have a question, but I am just amazed at the 30 years or 29 years of dedication that you've shown to that. The city of Astoria owes you a huge debt of gratitude, and I, for one, appreciate it a lot.
Club, and if the students then raise $1,000 in our foundation, we give them $10,000, and then they pick nonprofits in the community. And the kind of things, gee, we all would have been, you know, amidst all the issues we all have all the time, these are the kind of things when you attend just are so inspirational. For instance, the Astoria students, they gave money to the Assistance League, that's a PD action, Friends of the Astoria Armory, Healing Circle, SMART, Harbor, and the Warrington Club gave money to the Assistance League, Astoria Arts and Movement, Camp Geelong, Fisher Poets Gathering, Warrington Family Healthy Kids, Warrington Kids Inc. You know, I was talking to someone the other day about life, and I love the real estate business. I love what I do every day. I work with a couple hundred people. I'm just honored to work with. And my kids, I'm so proud of them. And every dad, it's a journey. But in the end, I think when you look back on things you do, you know, you don't suddenly say, boy, I accomplished this business-wise or whatever. You think about the things you gave back and then ultimately your family. About family. And you know, of the 30 boards I've been on and all the projects I've worked on, this is one that continues to just be so inspirational. We've been fortunate to be disciplined and fiscally run a tight ship, and a lot of nonprofits would love to have a solid balance sheet and keep our expenses in line, and a little bit of work from us, a little bit of time, helps hundreds of thousands of people a year who get to go on. Yeah, they'd be going up if Jordan was up here, someone else would be, but it takes people like all of us in this room to come together and work collectively towards community good. Those things you remember in life. So again, for me, really, I've been out here. Every time I go there, I feel inspired and feel lucky that I've been able to be involved with this amazing site and a wonderful community. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the consent calendar. These will all be approved in one motion unless someone has asked for an item to be removed.
No citizens have made a request.
Any council members want to remove any items?
I would like 7H removed, please, Madam Mayor.
7H?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, then could we have a motion to approve 7A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and I?
I so move.
Second.
Roll call, Chief Ames.
Councilor Demoloro.
Aye.
Aye.
Councilor Ward.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, item H, Councilor.
Yes, this is the amended management contract or agreement with the Friends of the Astoria Column. And I had some questions about some of the clauses. This is on page 43 of our agenda. In the recitals, the second whereas, it says, whereas the Friends is a tax-exempt nonprofit corporation. But then in the third whereas, it says, the Friends carries out its mission through an independent volunteer board of directors appointed by the mayor. And I was confused. Is the mayor appointing members to a nonprofit organization board?
Yes, that is correct.
Wouldn't that make that board a city commission then, if they are appointed by the mayor?
They are a board. They are a city. They are, the way they're structured is that they are falling within the. They're their own entity. They're their own nonprofit organization. However, the way that the organization was structured is that the mayor would make those nominations to be able to have that local participation between the city and the Friends of the Astoria Column. And that's just how the structure was established a number of years ago when the Friends was created. I was not here when that was created, but that's my understanding. But perhaps Mr. Schnitzer could be able to provide maybe a little bit more background on that if you're interested.
I'm just confused. If the mayor appoints the board, doesn't that make it a city commission, and shouldn't they be having public meetings and be part of the whole thing? Shouldn't we get minutes? I'm really confused. If it's an independent nonprofit, but the mayor is appointing them, it seems to me that they become a city agency.
I would have to defer to our city attorney, who is not here tonight, but again, the history is that they are their own separate 501c3 nonprofit organization, with the mayor given the delegation to make those appointments.
Well, I'd like to, when the city attorney is with us, I'd like to possibly put this on hold and re-examine the wording, because I think appointments by the mayor indicate that they are become city, involved with city governance kind of thing. And I think we're not creating a clear line between city commissions like the library board and the parks board and the Friends of the Column board. So I think we need to revise that language there if we can do that.
I would say that at least the whereas statements are not establishing any changes. This is purely just memorializing the fact that they are a nonprofit organization, and memorializing the fact that the mayor is tasked and charged with making those appointments.
I understand these aren't changes, but since we're looking at this, I would like to see a little clarification on whether the Friends of the Astoria Column Board is a city board or a completely independent board, in which case it could say that the mayor recommends appointments to the board rather than appoints kind of thing. Then on the following page, the second sentence, the Friends will choose the dates and employ seasonal parking and information guides and collect parking fees from visitors to the park. I understand the intention, but I don't think that sentence is put together very well. I believe it means that the Friends will choose the dates on which to begin employing seasonal parking and information guides. But just saying the Friends will choose the dates and employ is a little bit clumsy. So I would suggest looking at that. Finally, the fact that the Friends of the Historic Column are having a master plan, Mr. Schnitzer mentioned that. I'm assuming that this is happening independently of the Parks and Rec master plan, but hopefully there's some communication going. So little clarification on that. So those are just two items that would be some clarification. The language in that, the Friends will choose the dates, and then...
And Ms. Cosby can clarify.
Absolutely. Last year, I believe, was the first year that there was actually parking guides up at the column, and that really assisted in increased revenue, and it also assisted the visitors in getting additional information about the column and what it means to our community. Because of, well, one, our weather here, and also the tourism industry, when we are working on this agreement with the Friends of the Column, I believe both parties both agreed that it would be best to let the Friends, since they are the hiring agency over these employees, pick those dates. And it is very beneficial to us as well, now that the agreement indicates the city receives one of the $5 collected, to have those parking guides up there instead of not at all. We do receive financial benefit from that. The second question, could you remind me what that was?
It's just how much the Parks and Rec Master Plan is coordinating with the Column Master Plan.
Absolutely. We started talking about that today a little bit, as one of the recommendations of the Comprehensive Master Plan is to create a site plan. So we'll see once it's actually adopted by Council in July to move forward on that. But we would coordinate hand in hand together. Yep.
Thanks very much. So in that second sentence on that thing, I think maybe say just add the word, the Friends will choose the hiring dates or employment dates or employment extent, that kind of thing, just to clarify what that word dates there is, because it's the language is a little bit clumsy, if that makes sense. All right, thank you, Ms. Cosby. But the other thing, if the mayor appoints the board, how can it be an independent board? It must be a city board if it's appointed by the mayor. So I'd really like to put this on hold and have the city attorney come back with a suggestion on how to clarify the relation of the Friends of the Astoria Column board to the city council.
May I make a comment?
Sure.
We've had such a wonderful relationship with the Astoria Column. If there are some clumsy words in the agreement, it's not going to materially change the agreement. I don't think that we should be nitpicky with them. If we need to make a change, let's make it next year and approve the agreement this year. So with that said, I move that we approve the agreement.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
The first item on our regular agenda is a public hearing, and it's a request to purchase city-owned property adjacent to 323 Alameda Avenue.
The city has received a request from Bruce Connor to purchase a city-owned property southeast of his house located at 323 Alameda Avenue. Mr. Connor is wishing to purchase 0.32 acres of the city-owned lot. And a report was prepared, an appraisal report was prepared, and it was stated had a real land value of $47,000. Mr. Connor has provided a copy of the appraisal and has indicated a willingness to proceed with the sale. As the cost of the appraisal was $800, staff is recommending that the additional cost above and beyond the $450 fee, which is set in the fee schedule, be applied to the sale price, to be a total of $47,350. There has been public notice provided to property owners within 250-foot radius of the property, and a notice was set in the Daily Astorian. Tonight it's recommended that the council conduct the scheduled public hearing and, if deemed appropriate, to consider the sale of this city-owned property.
Okay. I will open the public hearing and ask for any public comments. Would ask that you would respect everyone's time, and comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Anyone have any comments about this? Okay.
Good evening, Your Honor. Madam President, members of the Council, my name is George McCartney. I live at 490 Franklin Avenue in Astoria. There are two considerations with respect to the sale of this property. First is, it seems on the basis of your past discussions and representations that you are very concerned about providing affordable housing, getting developers in to get affordable housing for the working people, and as a matter of fact, regular housing, if you will, because we're at a loss for all of that. And what you've got in front of you now is a proposal to take part of a rather large, probably the largest that you've ever considered in the last couple of years, city plot, and sell that. Next to that, of course, will still be remaining about two-thirds of the entire lot that you now own. And it just seems that if you're serious about looking for places to develop and having developers come in, this is a really ideal site. And now you're cutting some of that off, and that doesn't seem to make much sense. As to the sale itself, and probably in view of Councilman Lord's comments and vis-a-vis the letter to the editor, I'm on dangerous ground saying anything about that sale, but I will anyway. The lot size, again, is pertinent. Mr. Connor's present acreage on his house he has in front of this plot, which he wants to develop for his retirement, that is 0.19 of an acre. The site that he wants to buy is 0.32 of an acre. And we then refer to the Bassett County's latest assessment for his property that he now owns. For this year, his land is $67,452. He is now wanting to buy land behind his house with just as fine a view or better. He wants to buy that for $49,000. That's 0.32 of an acre versus 0.19 of an acre. 0.19 is 67,000.
Okay, if you can just.
Other acreage be that much less. Okay. And it's adjoining the same property. That's without looking at the comparables and
Can you wrap it up?
I'm not going to go to the comparables. I'm just going to show you the difference in the amounts just to the adjoining property, let alone discussing anything about the comps.
Okay.
And I just want to remind you once again the fiduciary duty that you have to the good people of Astoria to get the most out of the land that you sell. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you.
May I say a few words to in response to that? I think I can answer it, or
go ahead.
If you'd prefer I
no,
waited,
go ahead.
That would be fine. Mr. McCartan, in looking at the property that he wants to buy, and it's behind his house, there is no improved road to the property. It is very steep. Never would be developable for low-income housing simply because the development costs will be very, very high. Conversely, the property that he now occupies right in front of it is on an improved street. It has the sewers in, it has the water in, it has the electrical in, none of which this other site has. So you know, the difference in value is really stark when you look at an unimproved and with no road to it and an improved lot that's got a house on it. And so I think the price and the appraisal was fair.
Okay, anyone else? Comments? I'll close the public hearing then and council discussion.
Sure. Mr. City Manager, does the city have any current plans or any long-term needs for the property which we're reviewing?
No, there are no long-term needs for the parcel. It has been on our inventory for a number of years, and there's not been any proposal to do anything with it over any long-term look back, and we don't have any plans to be able to use that piece of property in the future.
Okay. And again, I asked you this at our last meeting, but do you feel comfortable with the professionalism of the appraisal that we received?
So I received a call from Stephen Weed after the last city council meeting. Ken Cook and I actually spoke with him, and I asked him some specific questions about the appraisal, and specifically dealing with the comparables and also how you take a look at the county assessed value for taxing purposes. And first of all, with regards to the comparables that he provided, there was one comparable that he reviewed at the time when completing this appraisal that was upwards in the $80,000. However, that was on a in a subdivision which did have full street, paved street network in. It had its utilities provided, and it was a full view lot. So it had the full view plus it was ready to build a new house without any infrastructure improvements, which is different from this lot, which will require water, sewer, and potentially road improvements to be able to develop. In discussing how the county's assessed values work and comparing that to an appraisal, Mr. Weed explained that he actually worked at the Clatsop County taxing office at one point in time conducting appraisals. And many of those values were placed on the properties a number of years ago just purely by taking a, as he put it, stick a thumb in the air and try to and put a rough number to what it would be valued. And when an appraiser is taking a look at what a piece of property is valued, you need to look at what is the market at this point in time. And so that is what he used to be able to come up with the figures for this property, and specifically the comparables, which we indicated on the report. So in summary, I do believe that he provided us with a good appraisal, and I trust the work that he put into this and would say, yes, it is a good figure.
Okay, thank you. Well, to the mayor and city council, I don't have any issues with selling this property to Mr. Connor, given that we have no current or future plans for it. And I appreciate Mr. McCartan and Mr. Cantor raising some tough questions. I think we do have a fiduciary responsibility. But I do trust our city manager's judgment on this, so I don't have an issue with the sale.
May I ask a question? Do you have any idea what the property tax revenue from that sale, if we make it, will be?
I don't have that. I don't know what it would be, and we didn't contact the county to
figure that out. Yeah, roughly $800 a year or so, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a, I don't throw That's out fine. A number when I don't have a good figure to give you.
I can, though.
Okay.
Any comments?
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, Mr. Connor has dealt with the city in a completely open and transparent manner in this proposed transaction. There's absolutely no fault with his approaching the city and requesting to purchase this property. He's done everything open and above board, so it's been completely transparent on his part, and there's absolutely nothing to fault him with on that. As far as the city goes, though, I think we need to remember that city properties are the property of the citizens of Astoria, not any particular city council, and should only be disposed of with extreme discretion. It's a finite resource. Once we sell city property, it's gone. We don't have that. We can't create any more land. I feel in selling any city property, we should take extreme diligence in finding that we are getting the best price for the property and it's being put to the best possible use. And I know that's very difficult in this real estate market and a topography and that sort of thing, but I don't feel that the city has demonstrated that we are absolutely getting the best price for this property and that it will be put to the best possible use. So for those reasons, I will oppose this sale. Thank you, Mayor.
I want to mention my husband and I went up to this property because in some cases when we sold some of those properties, we were told, well, you should have been, gone and visited every one of them. And that's probably true. Well, we did. We visited this one. You go up a very steep gravel road that goes nowhere, essentially. There's a parking lot at the end of it. And then you take a muddy trail that goes up and down and up and down and up till you finally get to the part where he is planning to build. The only access to that property is through his property right now. That's he would have to put an easement through the, or I mean, he'd have to have an entrance through his own property. So it's not the kind of property that you would want to develop for affordable housing or for any other kind of housing except for his own, because it's right behind his house, and that makes sense. But to try to open this up for any other kind of housing doesn't make any sense to me. So I will vote for it. Could we have a motion?
I would like to move that we sell the city-owned property southeast of 323 Alameda Avenue to Bruce Connor.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
All right, our next item are financial reports for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2015.
I'm going to ask our Director of Finance and Administrative Services, Susan Brooks, to come forward and just give a brief overview of our financial reports for our prior fiscal year. So, Susan, maybe if you move the microphone, it's maybe try to talk into it a little bit closer.
If there were a mic, oh, is there a microphone
there
in there?
There?
Oh, I see. I apologize.
Yeah, it doesn't look like there.
Yeah.
So I believe that you all received the cover letter from the auditors, which detailed the work that they did, and that both of these audits are clean audits, meaning there's no exceptions. Everything was presented according to GAAP and in conformity with the rules that were required to follow. And the only note, there were no discrepancies this year, so you didn't receive a separate management letter. If there were issues that had been found during the audit that required us to respond because they were of a serious nature or we were materially mistaking anything, you would have received a separate letter from the auditors asking for us to respond and how we were going to correct those deficiencies. So you did not receive a letter this year because there were no deficiencies to note. There are some kind of house cleaning items that I believe we talked about during the budget process, but those basically are some items that auditors felt needed to be brought to your attention, and we can discuss those at more length at a later time. But basically, they are they're minor issues that we can address or not address. They're just to highlight them to your attention. We did implement GASB 68, which is the PERS statement presentation this year. So there are some adjustments because of the approvals for that. Otherwise, everything's fine. Have financial statements.
I would note that at a prior city council meeting, the council approved a contract with a new auditing firm. And one of the tasks that was included within their contract was a presentation from the auditor at each subsequent fiscal year. In that this was the end of the contract for our current auditors. Susan is making the presentation this time, but in subsequent years, we're going to have the auditors making the presentation to the city council.
And we've already scheduled our preliminary field for this year.
Well, I'd like to congratulate you on a clean audit. I know that's very important. And you've done a wonderful job since coming on as finance director. I think we're all impressed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Okay, that's the end of our regular agenda, so this is a time for citizens to come forward if you have something you want to talk to us about. Any new business? Okay. The meeting is adjourned.
Adjourned, wow.
Now we need to open the Astoria Development Commission.
Okay, and now, yes, we will open...